time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right, we're talking about the highly controversial and confusing topic of transgenderism and how what we as Christians are to think about it, what we believe about it, how we are to respond to it. And we're going to get right back into that in just a second. Hey, listen, if you are listening to this podcast, maybe you've listened to previous podcasts, just know that you can be a part of helping keep this thing going strong and helping me continue to expand this thing and to get the truth of God out to the world. And you can do that by praying for this ministry and asking that God would impact lives with it. Really, the bottom line is not how many lives we impact. It's really that we impact lives. But we want to get as many people to tune in as possible and to really change minds. It's all about the Word of God transforming our minds from the inside out. It's not about pressure from the outside. It's not about making rules. It's not about saying, hey, you better believe everything I believe. It's just about exposing you to the Word of God and letting God's finished truth and the Holy Spirit convince you of the things to help you not only love God more in your life, but also to live the kind of life that is pleasing to Him. And, you know, there's nothing better than that. So if you want to be a part of that, please pray. Tell others about it. Subscribe to this podcast. And also, you might be interested in also supporting this podcast, maybe just a few dollars a month, maybe it's $10, $20 a month. You want to say, hey, Jeff, I want to be on board. Count me in. How do you do that? Go to jeffkinley.com, click on that donate tab, and you can look at instructions on how to do it. It's very simple how to do that. You can even set up a reoccurring monthly donation through your credit card and PayPal. Bottom line, it's an easy thing to do. jeffkinley.com. Click on the donate tab. Okay, let's jump into it. We were talking about, when we left last time, about transgenderism, and we got down to the point that, you know, getting kind of off the beaten path here for a second to talk about what it's not. We talked about gender confusion, because a lot of people are understanding they don't know what it means to be a man or a boy or a girl or a woman these days, because the world has blurred the lines, redefined the lines, destroyed the lines, and perverted God's plan for what a real man is, what a real woman is. And, you know, that doesn't mean that a man can't dance or a woman can't play softball. It's just, I'm talking about more substantive things here about the character of a person, what actually makes up a man, what are the characteristics of manhood. But there's a lot of gender confusion today. There's sexual confusion where people have thoughts in their head and they go, whoa, where'd that thought come from? You know, I never had that desire before. And all of a sudden you ask yourself, well, am I gay, or is this something I should pursue in my life? Is it okay with God? And then you go to God's Word, and God's Word clearly condemns certain things. You go, whoa, well, what do I do with that? Do I call myself gay? And just, there's confusion, you know? And God's Word gives clarity. God's Word is not confusing. He, you know, over and over in Scripture, He says, I write these things that you may know. God wants you to be confident in what you believe. So there's gender confusion, but that's not transgenderism. It doesn't necessarily lead to wanting to transition to another gender, but it does represent contradictory and opposing feelings within a person concerning his or her identity. Now, there was a time when we treated, talking about now back to transgenderism, it's the idea of a person who is born a biological male, they think they're a woman, and so they try to become one. Okay, that's the point. Or born a biological woman, they think that they're a man, so they try to become one. There was a time when we treated individuals who thought they were someone else other than who they actually are, as mental patients. I mean, think about it. That sounds harsh to say right now, doesn't it? But back in the day when someone claimed to be a visitor from the past or claimed to be Napoleon, you put them in the psych ward with all the other people who thought they were Napoleon, right? And you tried to keep the Napoleons separated from each other so they wouldn't fight. That's the way it used to be. You know, today you would say, wait, if he is identifying as Napoleon, he could be Napoleon come back from the grave just inhabiting that person's body. What about a person who claims to be a bird or a frog or a person who identifies as a potted plant? I mean, how are we to treat these people other than the fact that they have a serious psychological disorder? You say, you know what, Jeff? Those days are gone. They appear to be gone. I agree. Today, with transgenderism, which is in essence the exact same thing as pretending to be something that you're not, we are forced to bow to the will of the individual as if he or she was his own little god, and we're to give homage, pay homage to them and their beliefs. And the reason for that is because what you're seeing in our culture right now is that individual belief and desire reigns sovereign and supreme in this new post-Christian world of alternate realities. So whatever is true for you, according to Oprah, is your truth, and it doesn't have to be true for anybody else as long as it's true for you. And if it's true for me, then you must respect it. We'll get more to that later on. Now, when someone claims to identify as a person of the opposite gender, the pressure now, especially among Christians, but on society as well, is that we should now succumb to that claim, accept that claim, and surrender all of our preconceived religious, logical, scientific, emotional, and theological presuppositions or previously held beliefs or prejudices against such a claim or person. We must now lay them all aside so that this person is free to propagate the notion that somehow, by some divine miracle produced from within, they can magically switch to another gender. Using this word, identify, has caused a massive ripple effect in the area of gender identity. And I find it very interesting that the world seems to be gradually accepting it more and more. In fact, I read not long ago of a case involving a 56-year-old British man who identifies as an 8-year-old girl. He dresses like an 8-year-old girl, has the emotional characteristics of an 8-year-old girl, plays with dolls, and acts like an 8-year-old girl in every aspect of his life. There's only one problem. He's a 56-year-old man, and he looks ridiculous dressed as an 8-year-old girl, much less acting like one. This man has a severe mental condition and should be treated as such. However, the world will tell you that you must accept him for who he is and not judge him. Because if you do, you're a bigot and a hater and probably a Nazi too. So culturally speaking, there's massive pressure building every day including Christians, to accept this new reality of transgenderism, and not only to accept it, but also to honor it and not discriminate against it. From a spiritual and biblical standpoint, however, what the transgender and homosexual movements reveal is that they are further confirming a death of the human mind globally and the spiritual insanity that stems from rejecting the Creator and the truth of His Word. In Romans chapter 1, which it's almost like every day the world points us to Romans chapter 1, it says this. It's talking about people who have rejected God as Creator and reject the fact that He is the Creator and that He's there. It says in verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So what happens is when you reject God's existence, God's attributes, God's plan, God's design, when we reject all of that, there goes the light for your life, bub. Now you have no light. Now you have no insight into what is real because God determines what is real. He made what is real. And when you reject His reality, what are you left to? It says here, futile speculations. Not just speculations, futile speculations. You know what that means, right? It means they don't lead to anything. And it says their foolish heart was darkened. So the little light that you had before you denied that God was in charge and that His truth was reality, that's been taken away from you. Now you're walking in the dark. So you're not only blind, but you're speculating, and all of your speculations prove to be futile. In other words, they prove to be lies. So everything you think of about God, about man, about heaven and hell, if there is one, about sexuality, about marriage, about the value of life, about whether or not a man can become a woman or a woman can become a man, all of that is futile speculation because your foolish heart is darkened. It's like asking a drowning man, you know, to split the atom or something. You can't do it. And the very next verse, here's the irony of it, and this is how the morally darkened populace tries to elevate themselves to a level of moral superiority over Christians. on this issue. The very next verse says, professing to be wise, they became fools. So even though they're walking in darkness, they're blind, they're speculating futility, they still think they know more than you. And they still think they're right. And this whole issue of the phenomenon of transgenderism, they still think they're right. They think they know more than the Christians do. But the secret is the Christians have the Word of God that declares the real truth. So that's what's going on in the world today. Now, this phenomenon of this transgenderism and how it's affecting our culture is further evidence of the spiritual death, the darkness, the confusion, the human brokenness, and signs of a culture, as we read on in Romans chapter 1, that is being abandoned by God and judged by God. I didn't make that up. You read Romans 1. There are three times in Romans 1 where God says, I'm giving you over. I'm letting go of you. Go for it. That's what you want. Go for it. Peace out. I'm out of here, God says. There are signs of a culture, and part of that is this whole sexuality, homosexuality, lesbianism, and all the perversions that come with it. All right? So it's a mark of sinfulness, it's a mark of depravity, and it's a mark of potential demonic oppression and possession of individuals, this whole transgender thing. It's a slightly separate issue over here, but the depravity and the phenomenon of this whole drag queen story hour, have you heard about this? The drag queen story hour in public libraries across America where cross-dressing men, some of them obviously openly gay, are themselves not wearing underwear, flashing children with their genitals, dressing up like straight-up demonic creatures, and reading stories to young children in libraries. If that is not an evidence of demonic activity and human depravity, then nothing is, okay? But that's a separate thing. That's another thing that's going on. Back to our issue, transgenderism. From a biblical standpoint, the Word of God is crystal clear on gender. Don't be confused as a Christian. Don't let the world interpret the Bible and reality for you. You don't go to a secular university to learn how to interpret the Bible. You don't go ask a pagan atheist on the street, tell me what Genesis 1 means. You don't ask a Muslim to tell you who Jesus is. No, we don't let the world tell us what is true and what is real, okay? From a biblical standpoint about gender, in Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter of the entire Bible where God is laying the foundation of truth for the entire human race, this is what the Word of God says. He says, let us make man, Genesis 1, 26, 27, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Then skip down to verse 27. God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. And over in chapter 5, verse 2, read this. He says, he created them male and female, and he blessed them, and he named them man in the day they were created. He gets in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 19. Someone's asking Jesus about divorce. Jesus quotes Genesis. He says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? So this is the seminal creation of humanity, two separate, distinct, non-crossing over genders, male, female. You're either male or you're female. And so it's clear from the Word of God that there are only two fixed genders, and the notion, the idea, the concept that someone can simply cross over from one to the next, like changing cell phone providers in an afternoon, is an idea that is both foreign to the Word of God and preposterous to the mind and logical thinking of any person. There's simply no other human construct in the mind of God other than male and female. There is no third or fourth genders. There's no 56 genders or 300 genders or anything else in God's original design and for humanity. But here's what's happened. This is to give you clarity here. Satan and fallen mankind have always attempted to pervert God's original design for everything. They counterfeit it, they substitute it, they deny it, they reimagine it. In some cases, they attempt to destroy it altogether. We see this with the institution of marriage, with the distinct roles of men and women in society. men and women in church, men and women in the home, husband and wife role. We see it in sexuality with homosexuality and lesbian perversion of God's intended design for the sexes. We see it in the value of life itself as man continues to slaughter millions and millions of innocent unborn babies every year, all in the name of choice, all in the name of I am my own God. I will create my own reality. It's the Genesis 3 lie over and over again. You will be like God. That's his goal. So, what do we do? What are we to conclude from these facts and realities, okay? Not going to get to all this today, but we'll finish up next time. Watch this. First of all, you need to know that our culture, both in our country's culture and world culture, is going to continue in this moral decline. They're not going to wake up one morning and go, wait, you know, transgenderism used to be a thing, but transgenders all died off. Nobody wants to be transgender anymore. Not going to happen. They're going to be continually pursuing this thing and creating more and more sexual categories and perversions and genders and preferences and identities. It's going to go on and on and on to the end of time. It's going to get worse and worse. Just so you know, they're going to continue propagating and promoting this transgender aberration, and society is going to ramp up the pressure on you, your business, your church, everybody else, the rest of our citizens, to accept it and to honor it. If you refuse to do this, they're going to criticize you, vilify you, hate you, ruin your reputation, destroy you, and if they could, they would crucify you just like they did your Lord. Why? Well, that's an easy one to answer. The reason they're going to do that is because they hate your God, and they hate everything he stands for and everything his word says. Now, I'm not just talking about the radical lesbian activists here. I'm talking about normal, religious, church-going people that have bought into the world's philosophy and the world's values. Those are the people that are going to turn against you. And next time we're going to get into more of this, but let me just get into John 15 real quick. Listen to what Jesus said. This is Jesus Christ, okay? He says, if the world hates you, now why would the world hate us? Well, let's find out. Know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. So if you want to get the whole transgender community just to fall in love with you as a Christian, just become like the world, Jesus said. That's how you get it to happen. They're not going to love you unless you're like them in your beliefs and your acceptance and all the things that go with their sin. If you're like them, they'll like you. But if you're not, they're going to hate you. But because you're not of the world, by the way, you're not of the world. If you're a Christian, you are not of this world. Your allegiance lies to another kingdom. Your citizenship is in heaven, Philippians says. You're not a part of this kingdom. Because Jesus says in verse 19 of John 15, but I chose you out of the world. Out of the world. You know, the word church in the Greek is the word ekklesia. It means the called out ones. Ekklesia, called, ek, out of. The called out ones. We're called out of the world to be distinct, to be different, and to be committed to Jesus Christ. He says, but I chose you out of the world. Watch this. Therefore, the world hates you. Do you want to know who the world hates? When I say hate, that comes in many different forms, okay? Everything from disagreeing with to criticizing to demonizing to killing you. The world hates those who are chosen out of the world. Because Satan says, you go along and you toe the party line of the narrative that I'm propagating in this culture, or else. Or else. Jesus says they would love you if you just did what they wanted you to do. They'd love you if you believe what they believe. They would love you if you just agree with them about these things that are happening in society. The problem is, Jesus says, this ain't your world, bub. This is not your home. You're part of my world. You're in my kingdom, not their kingdom. That's where your allegiance is. You're living in their kingdom right now, but you don't obey their kingdom. I mean, just like we see in the Old Testament, Daniel, he was living under a pagan king, but he chose not to submit himself to that, to those king's rules. Why? Because his allegiance lay with a greater person, and that person was God. And Jesus says here, we're going to jump back into John 15 next time, but watch this now. Jesus just said, remember, verse 20, the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep your word also. So we have to make a choice here, but be real. Know what's coming. It's not going away. And we have to know what to do about it. I'll get more into that next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast. You've got to hear this. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.